art, culture, politics, activism. Now, art in the pandemic age. Have you ever wondered why artists do what they do? What is their purpose? What are they trying to accomplish? I'm your host, Kyle Roman. Welcome to Artivism Now. Artivism, defined, is a portmanteau word combining art and activism. How is it that artists push the boundary of their medium? How do they move societies forward? How do they resolve issues in their neighborhoods, both local and worldwide? These questions are what we set out to answer by interviewing artists locally and the world over. We will get answers to those questions that artists put out there in the community.
On this episode of Artivism Now, we welcome mover, creator, and artist from Tongva Land, L.A., Alexis Signs. All right. Welcome to Alexis Signs. Thank you for coming to the program.
Thank you for having me.
It's so great to have someone who is a performance artist, you yourself being a dancer. Would you be able to talk to us about, you know, the power that performance art and dance has in terms of conveying activist messages?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, as performance artists, as dancers, we have a way to take energy and just move it through to our audience, to not only convey with our bodies, but really use that energy to get the message across. I think, you know, it's really beautiful as performing artists to use activism to really, I want to say, like, explode into, like, so many different other energies that you can tap into with everything that's going on in the world. You know, there's so many things happening that really need it, especially right now, that need a lot of attention. And using dance as healing can really help, I think, the conscious collectiveness to heal and move forward in a better way, and use that energy in a way that can, you know, catch people's attention. I think that's really what it's about. I was on a panel with a few other activists and artists, and someone said something that really just, like, made me, like, gasp, like, just like, whoa. They were saying that, you know, once you catch someone with a beat, and in this case with a like a move or a gesture or that energy, you can get them hooked on whatever you're trying to explain and whatever you're trying to show. And if you hook that, you want to convey something that's of substance or of a bigger message that's bigger than yourself, you know. And that really hit me. I was like, yes, like, I think as performance artists, we can really utilize, you know, not only the music, but the way our bodies are moving to really convey a message that is of the utmost importance, and have that message, that whatever that may be, right?
Yeah.
To really lock in our audience and give them that energy.
Yeah, I think you speak so well about that connection. You know, it's a lot of us learn by watching, you know, a lot of us learn by watching movement as well. Kinesthetic learning, right? It's one of the main learning modes. Any teachers out there will know that, hey, this is, you have to demonstrate something before a student can actually try to replicate it. And I feel like you're hitting that as well, that main teaching mode of kinesthetic learning. And by people learning about my movement, they could learn about my message as well. And so if you would, you know, be able to maybe bring up, like, what is your mission or vision of your work that you have as a dance artist?
I think it really varies for me depending on the project, but my overall just like mission or goal in life is to meet as many people as possible and to inspire as many people as possible, whether that be through dance, through a conversation, through, I also teach Pilates. So like, whether it's helping them heal their bodies or, you know, whatever it may be, like, I just want to meet as many people as possible and just inspire and be inspired, because that's really what it's about, that connection, like you talked about. I always say, like, my biggest thing is that I always say is that people make this life worth living. So I really think that connection is something that I really yearn for or thrive off of. So, yeah.
No, that's a great sentiment. And it shows that artists are in tune with emotions on a different level than most people are, and are at least able to translate that into your art medium, and for others to learn something from what you're going through. And your work does that on a whole new level, because you have dance going on, right? But also within dance, you also have it's performance art. So there's acting going on there as well. You're taking on different characters or different types of experiences or even emotions within your work. How difficult is it to you know, blend all of those different elements together within a dance performance?
I think for me personally, it comes naturally, in the sense that, like, I know what I want to convey. And I just have a clear vision. I've kind of always been like that, where, like, literally I'll listen to a song or I'll have an idea or an inspiration. Literally works like a movie, and I'll just see a visual of it. And so I'll be like, okay, I want the camera here. Like, I need to be able to convey this how or ask through a camera, right? Because in person or like live stage version is going to be a lot different than on camera, right? So how can we play with, you know, the depth of feel, and you know, having like controlling the eye of the audience with the camera, versus, you know, we have that third wall there when we have that stage performance. And so that was something really interesting with one of my projects, The Process of Remembering, just to bring that up very briefly. I, you know, filmed this 8 visual series and then decided to turn it into a live dance show, the entire 8-part series. And I had to figure out, okay, well, it's gonna be way different from doing all this movie magic, right, on screen, to now doing it in person. And how do I not only choreograph, but how do I, you know, use formations and gestures and things to really convey what I was able to on film. And it's really fun, honestly. Like for me, like I think that's fun. I'm like, okay, now like how do I do this but this way, you know? And you get to like play around and mess with things and see how it goes. And so for me, it comes pretty easily because I've always been just like a straight shooter and knowing exactly what I want. And then I just figure out how to convey it, kind of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of testing and experimentation, and like you said, stopping and starting, and you know, in that creative process. And you know, honestly, I could look at the final videos and be like, that was one take. Like she just did it. It was perfect the first time, but the artist always knows, right? The painstaking detail that goes into it. We were talking about the process of remembering experience. You could find all of Alexis, her dance work on her Instagram site. Lex, LEXX signs, SAENZ on Instagram, and all of her videos are posted and they are there, and please go and enjoy them and read into them and think about them and honor the work that the artist has done. So we wanted to talk a little bit about Doomed, right? The Doomed project. Could you, that's another one that we could find on the Instagram site. You just have to click on the IGTV button on the Instagram page. So Doomed, tell us about that.
Yeah. Honestly, a lot of this video came together like in the moment, which like you really wouldn't think, right? The entire thing was freestyle. There was no choreography. I had like, oh, I'm gonna start like this on the rock, and then yeah, that's it. Like that's like, well, and then like as we were doing things, I came up with other ideas and collaborated. But first and foremost, I'll say that it was shot in Trinidad. I traveled there to visit a friend. It was my first time going. And as you can see, it's just gorgeous. I told them, I was like, I want to shoot a dance video here, and I want it to be with the ocean or like near the ocean. And so I've always wanted to do something to this song. And I was like, I think this is where I'm gonna shoot it. Like, this is gonna be it. And for me, it was it was kind of a release of, you know, letting go of what we look at as negative things, and just like but also like being present with it, right? The song is so kind of dark and eerie, but in order to have the light, we have to be in the dark, right? In order to see the light, we got to be in the dark. And I was trying to embrace both worlds of that. And for me, water, the way I was, I've always been connected to water. And, you know, I've been taught that women are the water carriers and that we have a special relationship with water, which is why I wanted to film this in the water, and kind of have it be like a healing, which it was. Like, you can't see, but I was like crying most of the time I was in this piece, and it was just like such a moving experience for me, that it was way more than a video. I just was trying to embrace that lightness and that darkness and kind of be able to heal the dark with the light. Because we can't not have the darkness. And that's something that I've learned. Like, even when we look into vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. Vulnerability is multiple different things. It's a lot of things that people would consider negative, like anger, sadness, you know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, anger, sadness, jealousy, things like that, right? Because you have to be vulnerable to feel those things. And then there's the positive side, which is like joy, happiness, you know, all those things. But you can't be vulnerable and just only have the good things, right? We also have to have the other feelings and emotions that come with vulnerability, right? And so that's something I've really been looking into and focusing and trying to learn and relearn throughout this year. And so I wanted to convey that in the piece, like that you have to be able to embrace all of it.
Yeah, and I think
embracing that through nature. A lot of my work happens in nature and is in nature because of my way of life, and I'm really deeply connected there, and I really felt like in order to heal, I needed that strong water energy. It's crazy because as we started, you know, it was like all in the water. I remember having a moment where I think I was in that little cave part dancing in the water, and my ears, I literally couldn't hear anything. There was so much water in my ears, everything was muffled. And I just literally kept moving, and then there was like sand in my eyes and everything was blurry. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful and like intense in a way that like I was still moving, you know what I mean? And I was like, this is it. Like, this is literally what I'm talking about. When things get so intense that you literally can't see, you can't hear, and you're just like feeling, and you're just like, you know, like that's literally like what I'm trying to convey, and I'm experiencing it right now as I'm, you know, moving in it. And I don't know, there was so much symbolism in it that just happened on its own that was just like you know, very, very just incredible. Organic. Honestly, to see the just so organic. And like, you know, towards the end of it, I was like, ooh, let's like, I'm gonna lay into this little piece of sunlight in the water and I'm just gonna float. And you just you know, she filmed it, her name's Bianca, and she like climbed up in a tree, this palm tree that stretched out, and she's like, I have a photo of it, she's like filming me like this, and she caught some amazing moment. She by this rock, like all the ending freestyle moments when I was with the waves and stuff by the rock, she was like, I want you to go in that little sunspot area near the rock. And, you know, I was like, oh no, because I'm so short and it's like really far out in the water. I was a little nervous, but that part really made the ending what it was, of just that welcoming of new energy, that welcoming of new that healing, and like letting it wash over me, and you know, but being able to still move through it and like taking the ways of life as they come, you know, because nothing is permanent, right? And so I think it, for me, that entire experience was just like a huge growing experience in itself, just of filming it, and then even after watching it, and then or putting it together, because I work with the videographers to like put it together. I really, all my pieces, I'm like directing as well as being on the other side of it. So putting it together, learning you know, that way, and then like, you know, then into watching it. It's like crazy, the different stages, and just rewatching it and everything, just you learn so much from the piece that you actually create, you know. And yeah, I don't know if there's any specific questions about it, but that's basically all I have to say off the top of my head about that.
Well, shout out to Bianca on that one, right?
Yes, she was incredible. I can't wait till she comes to the U.S. so we can film more things together, because that was the most easy, crazy collaboration I've ever done in my life. It was just so effortless and so, like, it's just, wow. The fact that I still have to remind myself when I watch it, I'm like, this was all, like, we had no plans. We're going to go and shoot today, like, you know. Right. But it had such a big, deep meaning to it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely sounds like the meaning was honestly built, from what it sounds like, throughout the experience. Like, it's not something like you can't really create, or, you know, the crash of the waves, or the, you know, the sand in your face. Like, that's all stuff that had to come together. So that's what I love about it, is that it's uniquely organic. And then it's also transcendent from human to nature and back, right? Even though, you know, we might believe that, you know, humans are just as much a part of nature as any other living being is, right? You know, it's making that connection with nature that really comes out in a lot of your work. And even when you are, you know, doing your projects that are maybe in the studio or whatever, there's just that real kind of gritty, organic feel to the whole aesthetic that you choose. You know, maybe talk about that for a little bit, like in terms of choosing setting and choosing mood for your performance pieces. You know, what are maybe part of the process that you go through?
Yeah, I think for me, it's the first, it's really all about the look and feel, right? Because it's like, okay, if I want to convey like this sense of being alone, right? What does that look like in terms of lighting? What does that look like in terms of the space? You know, like for example, the process of remembering, go back to it, there's one that I shoot that's in the studio, and it's a all black studio, and you don't know that if there's any walls or anything. And actually that was a huge dance studio that had just one black wall, and we ended up taping a huge sheet on the floor, you know, to make it look like an all black studio. And the way we put the lighting made it look like it was like just all black all around. And so like, you know, I wouldn't be in an all white studio. I mean, I could potentially be in an all white studio, but like, I think it just really depends on what I'm going for. Like, I was trying to also make myself feel small. So being in a dark room was a lot more closed off, and when we zoomed out, made me look a lot smaller than being in an all white studio or psych. So I think it really just depends on the piece, and I think it just goes into like, okay, what is it gonna look like? What is the lighting? What else could make me look a little bit more, if I'm isolated, like what goes into, yeah, like what I'm wearing, you know, like down to every little single detail. But I think the biggest things that go into that is just like lighting and stuff like that, which in terms of like something like Doomed, that really wasn't planned, but once we got to see where we were kind of shooting at, it was like, okay, this is obviously like kind of like the darker area with the cave, and then we have more light, more so where the ocean is, which is perfect. And then we were also able to play with, like, depending on which way we faced, it was like more of a silhouette than the other way. So like, which parts did we want to use that on? And like, so the contrast, and making sure for that piece that we had both, right? Because we wouldn't want to shoot all of it in the cave when we're also trying to get that light, but we could have though, because of the way I was dressed, right? I had white lips and white, really like kind of angelic, lighter makeup, and like a nude color to kind of just symbolize that angelic kind of
I
don't know if that's the right word,
like an ethereal feel to it,
kind of feel like more unearthly. So I think it, like, and I literally came up with that makeup like while we were there. Like, I was like, I'm gonna do this because it feels right. Like, I want to feel like I am the lightness, and I'm trying to heal that darkness that comes with, you know. And so it comes down to even those small things like that, which like really don't even matter. But that ending shot when I'm floating and the way she catches the sun with hitting the white sparkles on my lips and my eyes, like, just makes it that much more, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it really just comes down to every single detail as much as you can plan, and then the rest is just that magic that just happens.
I couldn't agree more, because it comes out for sure in the video. And again, the video is on the Instagram site, Lex Saenz, LexSaenz on Instagram. You could definitely check out all the project videos there. The light versus dark theme, I really enjoy that, because not only does it translate across generations, but also means, you know, something about now, light versus dark. There's, like you had said earlier, there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of hate out there. In reality though, we need to confront and acknowledge that hate and darkness before, you know, we could truly enjoy the light. That's just kind of from my perspective as well. How else is that coming out in your work, and do you find it as like kind of like a prevailing theme that kind of goes across projects for you?
Yeah, I think that in a lot of my projects, they're things that I've had to overcome. They are my adversities that I've kind of been through, that I pull from my own experience. And I don't think necessarily it's like an overall theme. I think, like, for me, the process of remembering was more so like me kind of finding myself and embracing who I am and trying to understand even more. Like, that was one process that I went through to get to where I was, which is like more of a grounded and understanding of who I am. And then these other little projects, like Doomed, is like, okay, I have more of an understanding, but now I'm facing like this, you know, light and dark, this ego and self, kind of this like even diving more into generational trauma and even my, you know, childhood trauma that is coming up in my relationships, and that dark stuff is not what makes me who I am, right? But how am I able to embrace that so that way I can just move forward from it? And each project, I think, is something just like a little bit different, you know? Yeah. Like, I think they pull from my own experience, but I think it's what makes it what it is because it's relatable. Like, mm-hmm. A lot of people are going through, you know, the similar things. And like the process of remembering was really something for me to just heal. I wasn't planning on like doing a whole tour out of it and like, you know, and it's because the people needed that. People needed a space to understand themselves as well. And like with Doomed, I feel like I remember someone commenting and being like, I feel like I just grew just by watching that. And like, you know, I think it's because of the way it was conveyed in such a way that could be relatable, like to other folks, which wasn't just my doing, right? It was the other artists I've been collaborating with. So huge shout out to everybody that I've worked with. But I think that it's kind of just just different experiences and journeys trying to come out through my work, and I think that it's gonna always continue to be that, but a lot of my work does have to do with you know, a lot of emotions and a lot of identity work like Doom specifically, I just think of that light and dark. And I think that as I have produced other ones since then, like Morning Doves and the little freestyle videos I've been doing, I think it's kind of developed into more of not only just doing videos that are about the darkness, but like also trying to embrace that lightness as well. Because I think for most of us, it's easy to kind of to feel or sit in like the trauma or into the things that maybe we kind of grew up believing or knowing, which aren't necessarily true, because they're comfortable, right? And I think with me trying to do like Morning Doves and the freestyle videos, I'm trying to bring out, okay, I've done like with the process of remembering, I did a lot of digging and a lot of, you know, inner work to like bring that out. And then same with like Doomed, like the whole past like 3 years have been like most of that kind of work. And I'm like, okay, well, what about the light now? You know, like let's get more into that. How does that feel? How does that, you know, that fun, that happiness, that you know, peace, you know, and trying to also dive a little bit more into that side of things, which you've seen more so recently. So I don't know if that answered your question.
No, but it was great, and you brought up a good point about how you use identity in your work, and how you've, you know, your work has kind of done some identity revealing about yourself. What is it, or who is Alexis Sines for those who don't know you?
Yes. Hello, I go by Lex, she, they pronouns. I am a professional dancer and artist and activist. I am mixed. So my mom is white, my dad is Latinx and Indigenous, and my sister and I are still trying to figure out what tribes we are from specifically, but I have been adopted by the Lakota and Diné tribes, and have been on this journey for about 9 years now, of just following my roots and my way of life and finding myself through that again. And I am originally from Ute, Cheyenne, Arapaho, Sioux territories, which is so-called Denver, Colorado. Grew up there, born and raised, and I've been out here in Tungwa, Chumash, and Tatavium territories, which is so-called Los Angeles, California. And a lot of the work I do, I organize with the International Indigenous Youth Council, fighting for climate justice, Indigenous land sovereignty, missing and murdered Indigenous women, and LGBTQ plus two-spirit rights. And I also work with March On Foundation as their project manager for Dine 1-1, which started during COVID, trying to help local restaurants keep their lights on by buying meals and delivering them to frontline workers and communities in need. And I also volunteer with the Embrace Foundation out of East Los Angeles, which gives scholarships to kids in the East LA community. Also provides scholarships to art programs and helps keep a few different art programs open, like Plaza de la Raza. And I am just very passionate. When I'm not doing any of those things, I teach dance and Pilates, and just trying to help people heal their bodies. I'm just really passionate about everything I do. A lot of people say that they've never met anyone more passionate than I am. And honestly, I couldn't agree more. I put my all in everything I do, which I feel like you can see in my work. I have really big dreams of just being not just doing dance and, you know, films, but acting, dancing. I love to sing. I love to write. I write poetry. I like to create stuff with my hands. I really am just a creator. I just, even though I'm not like the best at everything, I still love to do it. I grew up around art. My mom was a professional dancer as well, owned a dance studio, and I went to a performing arts middle school and high school, Denver School of the Arts, shout out. And then I went to college at California Institute of the Arts and got my bachelor's of fine arts in dance and choreography, and just have been out here dancing ever since. And what really started me creating my own work was, you know, I was auditioning for things and have booked stuff, really great jobs here and there. And then in between was auditioning for like dance companies. And I auditioned for three really big contemporary dance companies out here in Los Angeles and got to the end of all of them. And then got cut right before they took people. And after that, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to create my own work. And yeah, that's what I did. And I haven't stopped since. And I like to create with other artists, but a lot of my work, as you brought up beforehand, is solo, just because it's, you know, easier when I have a vision, a clear vision. I can just grab my camera, many camera people that I love so much, and be like, hey, let's go shoot, like, I have this vision, you know. And when I can, I love to get with other dancers and artists and try to make some magic, like we did with the process of remembering. But yeah, that's That's me in a nutshell, I suppose. There's so many other things I could say, but I'll suffice with that.
That was amazing. I feel like I'm of the millennial / Generation X group. I just turned 40. And I just want to speak to everyone in my generation. That is how you identify yourself. Because it's not just about who you are and what your makeup is. It's what you do as well. I think that is, it comes out in all of your work, because you've had to adapt a lot to your surroundings, you know, based on where you grew up and how you grew up and everything. And so I think that's such a unique story that you have to tell. And you and I both are both half Latinx people, so we got that in common as well. My dad's Puerto Rican, so I have the mixed kid thing going too. And so I feel your pain, but also there's beauty in it as well. I think that's really cool. And it's no wonder that how you identify came up in your work, because not only do you have such a deep and layered identification, but you also identify outwards with other people. It definitely comes across in the projects that you put out there, that, you know, you're able to not only work inward, but, you know, turn that outward to your audience. And I think that's really cool that you're able to do that. You had brought up the Indigenous Youth Council is one of the organizations that you, one of the many organizations that you work for and do passion work for. I think that's so amazing. So give us the details on what the mission is of the Indigenous Youth Council, and then maybe examples of some of the work that you do with them.
Yeah, so the International Indigenous Youth Council started in opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline back during the Standing Rock Movement in 2017, which I believe it actually really started in 2016 when a group of youth ran from North Dakota all the way to the White House to ask them to ask Obama to oppose the pipeline. And, you know, they were turned away and they ran all the way back. And that's kind of was the start of the Standing Rock movement. And the Youth Council was founded by Two-Spirit femme folks, and that's how, I mean, they like really led that movement up there. And when the Lakota family that adopted me, one of my siblings was a part of one of the founding members. And when Standing Rock was over, everyone kind of lived there for a few months. So everyone went back to their homes and their states, and they wanted to keep that fire going that they started there at Standing Rock. And so everyone kind of went back home, and we wanted to keep that going. So we started them in our cities and in our communities. And so since then, we've been doing a lot of different work, specifically geared mostly towards the climate justice movement. But we do a lot of other work within the community. For here in Los Angeles, you know, shortly after Standing Rock, actually, we got the Robert F. K. Kennedy Human Rights Award, which was amazing. And we've gone on to do a lot of different climate strikes across the country, and speaking at rallies and strikes and being on panels and such like that. But a lot of the work we love doing is in our community. We most recently just did an artivism event where we brought together art and activism just to have a day of healing for the community. And we had screen prints, We had spray paint and stencils. We had a little art build going where people made tombstones of all of the people that have been lost at the hands of LAPD, which we plan to use for future action. And we had banners made. It was in collaboration with Black Unity Los Angeles. And we were raising funds for them because they were encamped outside of City Hall and they got raided. And so everything was taken. So we were doing a fundraiser for them. So we had a new banner for them in their encampment, and they we were painting them and stuff. And it was just a really beautiful event. We partnered with East LA Cafe, or sorry, South LA Cafe, and brought meals to the homeless or unhoused folks around there. And that was a really beautiful event. We also do healing circles every month for the community. Femme circles, two-spirit and non-binary circles, men's circles. We also do little kickbacks every month. And hopefully soon here, we'll start to do some of our training programs. Most recently with the uprisings, we've been doing nonviolent direct action trainings for folks to make sure that when they go out there, they're prepared and fully equipped for the things that may happen. Hopefully soon we'll be able to do more of our Mi Vida Su Vida program, which is a program that is geared to help folks in our community connect with themselves, mind, body, spirit connection, and look at things like generational trauma, belief systems, dynamic systems theory, physics of the soul, food as medicine, consumiento, a lot of different things that go into just being ourselves. So that program's really beautiful. And actually, I teamed up when I did my tour for the process of remembering. I took some of those exercises from Mi Vida Su Vida that really helped me, and I created them into art installations. So when people came to because that Mi Vida Su Vida is really what started the process of remembering and helping me remember who I was. And so I wanted people to come to the tour, not only just come to see the film, but also learn something about themselves too. So I had an exercise about belief systems that was made into an art installation that they physically did and made while there, and then did one on emotions and how they can manifest in the body into disease and stuff. And that's another one from Mi Vida Su Vida that I really took, and it really just hit me hard to really understand, like, everything is connected within the body, right? And yeah. Then went on from there to like dismantling belief systems. How do we heal from these emotions that get stuck in the body? And what are things that you know about yourself that you can help yourself to heal? And that's really what kind of helped that tour be what it was, which was from this program. So hopefully here in the future, we'll be able to do more stuff with our Mi Vida Su Vida program. But we have a lot of things coming up around the election. Also, yeah. Tomorrow's Indigenous Peoples Day. We are a few different other IOICs across the country just got together and hosted a Indigenous Peoples Day panel tonight. We've been doing a lot of stuff for tribes across Turtle Island for COVID, doing COVID relief stuff with them. And that's some of the work that IOIC has been doing, and we want to continue doing throughout years to come, to just provide a space for youth to connect back with the land, connect back with their roots, and to really help insert themselves into the movement and to be leaders of tomorrow, because that's really, we really need to look more to our youth for guidance, because they know best how they want their future, right? And so just making sure that they, we can support them in whatever they need. They really are so smart. They know everything that's going on, and they know their communities best. You know, they they haven't been taught all these belief systems and things yet, you know? And so I think it's important to, you know, to really focus on the youth, because they're really are what is gonna shape our future and our tomorrow.
Yeah, and you're seeing it right now, you know, the youth are, and the youth being, I would define the youth as not yet conformed young adults, you know, like they really are. And even just in my own experience as a high school teacher, I find many more times that they are my teacher than the reverse, you know? And so I totally buy into that. And they are more informed. They know how to sift through a lot more messages per minute than we do, because they were raised on media a lot more. I shouldn't say we, because I know for a fact you're not as old as me, but my generation anyways, you know, so we have a lot to learn in terms of those of us who are 40 and up from the current youth movement. And once again, it's IIYC.LA on Instagram. It's the Indigenous Youth Council of LA. And you said there's other councils as well.
Yes, we have different areas. So we have Texas. We just got a chapter in the Bay Area, nice. New Mexico, South Dakota, Denver, Twin Cities or Minnesota, Chicago. I think we had one in DC. So we're literally just all over.
That's fantastic. And if they're doing a fraction of the work that the LA chapter is doing, then we will all be better for it. So definitely want to honor and lift up the Indigenous Youth Council of LA and across the nation. Find them on Instagram. Once again, it's at IIYC.LA for the LA chapter. Check it out, folks who are in California. And then I like to do a part of the podcast where folks can maybe talk directly to students. We've been talking about the young people a lot in this interview, which is really cool. And a lot of the people who listen to this are art students or even high school students. What would you say to those who haven't quite experienced you through your work yet? What would you say to them about the importance of the role of activism within art?
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone has a role to play in this time that is happening right now. And, you know, you have a voice for a reason. And even if you feel like no one's listening, or you don't have enough followers, or you know, all of that stuff, someone is going to hear you. And regardless, you make them listen. You make them listen. It's just like I said earlier with that woman that said, you know, if you get someone and you hook them with that beat, or you hook them with that energy, you get them to listen. You make them listen. So what are you going to say? What are you going to say that's going to impact them potentially forever, right? Yeah. And I want you to really understand and really remember that you are not just you. Mm-hmm. You are all the generations before you. you come as one, my favorite quote by Angelou, you come as one, but you stand as 10,000. There are so many people before you that have prayed for you to be here, that have manifested for you to be here. And so what are you going to do today? What are you going to say right now? What are you going to do right now? Because as you're working and saying and doing these things every single moment, you're becoming an ancestor. You're becoming someone else's ancestor. And so what is the work that you're going to lay down in front of them as you do so? And just like keeping that in mind with everything you do. Everything you do has impact or can have impact, you know, and don't be scared of that. Don't be scared of the power that you hold inside you from not just yourself, but from your other generations. And you're doing all this work for the future generations. As the way I was taught, you pray seven generations behind you, seven generations in front of you. So just, you know, embrace your power, embrace your voice. Don't be scared of it. And that's something, you know, I have to tell myself every day and remind myself, because it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. And it's so important. This work is so important.
That's a fantastic way to convey just the true essence of who you are. I'm just learning all of this about you as well, but it also is kind of hinted at in your work, and your conversation just completely, you know, is the cherry on top, because, you know, you live your reality day in and day out, and you've effectively capitalized on every moment and every opportunity that has been presented to you, and sometimes in the form of obstacles, you know, but you've been able to turn those obstacles into parts of your identity, you know, and I think that's an amazing message for young folks, is to, you know, is to be able to, you know, what other people might perceive as baggage, you can wear as a badge of honor, you know,
and learn from it.
Yeah. Learn from your obstacles, learn from your perceived failures, and then turn that energy around. You know, this is your light versus dark coming through. Turn that energy around and spread that out to other people, reverse that energy into the light. And, you know, I see that happening, you know, with the work that you're doing outside of your art medium, let alone within your medium of dance as well. So thank you for conveying that amazing message to the youth in such a crucial time in all of our lives.
Yeah, I give it all up to them, because I know right now it's hard. It's hard for everyone. And I think, you know, our youth, you know, it hits the hardest, but I think there's so much to learn in this time, and there's so much to take from this and really use this time wisely to go inward and to really learn yourself and know yourself. And some of us, you know, we're older and we are trying to use this time to do that. It's really like, oh my gosh, like I'm 28 and I need to sit here and like use this time, this isolated time, to really go inward. And, you know, I feel like, you know, if I would have had this time when I was enter younger year age, I can't imagine like where I would be now, like being able to use this time to really focus and to just work on myself. Who knows where I would have been? So like, don't lose sight. And I know it's hard right now, but you can do it. Like, you guys give me hope, and, you know, just continue to focus inward and to really really pinpoint what you're passionate about and speak on it. And learn from these experiences. I think that's the biggest thing I want to say. Even if it's a really hard experience, you just said, you can flip it and change that energy and use it in a positive way that may help someone else. So yeah, take everything as a learning experience.
And what better of a message to bring our conversation to a close. You articulate so well your own passion, and it's literally making me want to like go out and like, what can I do right now? It's 8:41, but what can I do? You know, like I feel the urge now, and I feel, you know, that maybe I didn't have, you know, going into the interview, because, you know, we're starting back with our school tomorrow. I got work ahead of me, and there's this, that, and the other, but now I feel uplifted to be able to tackle those things. So firsthand experience here, people who are listening, go witness some of Lex's work and feel the passion. So thank you so much for joining us on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you everyone for listening. You could have been anywhere in the world listening to anything in the world right now, and you're listening to this. So thank you so much for being here with us.
All right, and take care, and hopefully we can have you back and get an update on the work that you're doing.
Absolutely, definitely. Thank you so much.
All right, take care.